Christian author Mark Shelsky once told a story about a time with his daughter, and it went something like this. My daughter, Emerson, was sitting in her car seat in the back of the van as we drove from dinner one evening. She was 4 at the time. Discipline was not her strong suit on that day, and as evening came, she got more and more out of control. She was angry with me because I had corrected her pretty sternly at dinner. And so she was scrunched down in her car seat, arms tightly crossed, folded in front of her, quietly fuming at me. And then I heard her tiny voice speaking with great energy, "I don't like you, Daddy." And then she went quiet. And even though she was 4, it still stung a bit. It was a little slap at my identity and role as her father. A moment later, she spoke again, almost like she was rethinking her position. She said, "Well, I like your beard. I just don't like you." "I like your beard, I just don't like you." Interesting thought, isn't it? That we love only parts of someone. We love a person's looks, their performance at work, their talent in woodworking, their attitude towards children. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? It's an interesting thought that I might love to listen to the stories that my neighbor tells, but I don't love how he leaves his yard a mess all the time. Or how I might love how my colleague at work can help me complete a project, but I don't love how he always denigrates my boss. Interesting thought, and yet I think there's some truth in it for all of us. Shelsky went on to ponder this encounter with his daughter. "That was much better," I thought. My beard was magnificent. And since my beard hadn't been part of disciplining her, I could understand where she was coming from. Watching my daughter work out her emotions towards me was fun. But her words struck a chord. I thought about how many relationships I've had in my life with people who truly didn't like me for me. They liked something about me, my performance, my loyalty, how I could support and encourage them. But their love for me didn't extend to all of who I am. I also realized, he wrote, that for a long time, that's how I saw God. There were certain things about me that God loved, my good behavior, my worship, my dedication, but there were also just so many things that didn't line up with God's wishes. Therefore, I thought, God couldn't really love all of me. God really couldn't love all of me. I suspect that deep down there's a part of all of us that resonates with Shelsky's statement about himself, that God really can't love all of me. God can love some of me, but not all of me. For there is within us a part of us that knows that we are unlovable. And I'm not talking about sinfulness exactly, although that is part of what this is all about, but I'm talking about something deeper than sinful acts. I'm talking about something within our inner core that when confronted with the reality of God, pulls away. The old commercial, "Be all that you can be," comes to mind, and then God comes before us, or we come before God, we suddenly pull away from that. I cannot be all that God wants me to be. Like the cockroaches that scatter at night when the light comes on, something deep within us cowers when the light of God is actually shining on us. We know that we don't measure up to what God wants us to be. In what we do and what we don't do. And even at some level in who we are. And I think this is a particular reality for many of us who go to church. We are good people. We love and take care of our families. We respect our neighbors. We do our jobs. We try not to do bad things, and we try to do good things. But deep inside, we know, don't we? We know that we are not quite as good as we'd like to think we are. We know that we have that Achilles heel in our makeup that causes us to fall short from time to time. We know that we fail up to live up to the life that Christ wants us to live. We know that we are selfish and want to get our own way. We know that we have an ugly part of us that is mean and cruel at times and wants to get the better of someone else. We try to keep that part of us under control, hidden, but we know that it is still there. And while it is still there, we feel that God really can't love us, or at least can't love all of us. I think Paul understood this as well. As we scan the apostles' writings in the New Testament, we get a sense that he is fully aware of that tension within us of wanting to be loved by God and feeling at the same time that there's no way that God can love us, or at least love all of us. But I think in this passage from Ephesians, Paul gives us a new perspective that he puts so eloquently in verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's handiwork. Let us start there. The word handiwork gives us a whole new perspective on who we are and what we are about. It implies that we are not the result of some heavenly factory cranking out sets of identical products, but instead we are part of God's own hands. Individuals crafted by God for a God-intended purpose. But there is even more behind this word, handiwork. Paul, of course, wrote in Greek, and the Greek word that we in English translate as handiwork is poema, which means to make or to do or to create. And interesting enough, it is the root word of our modern word poem. I'm going to let you think about that for a minute. And what a concept it would be if we thought of ourselves as God's poem. In a sense, that makes us a work of art. And of course, art is unique. Art is beautiful. What is more, art has something of the artist embedded in it. I remember talking with a man who carved wood, made beautiful wood carvings. And I asked him, do you sell these things? And he goes, no. I can't give them up. There's too much of me in these carvings. I think many artists feel that way, that part of them is in the work they've created, even if they give it up to be sold or donated. And so I think it is when we think of ourselves as God's artwork. For we have the essence of God reflected in us. We are crafted in the image of God, as the Old Testament says, and we are made to mature in the image of Christ, as Paul puts elsewhere in the New Testament. God loves us because we are God's handiwork, God's artwork, created and fashioned by God's own hands. We are beautiful because we are made by God. What is more, God continues to fashion who we are. We are created for a purpose, as Paul writes in that same sentence, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. We are created to do good works. We are made and gifted to do what God needs to have done in this world. And what is more, God has laid this out before us. God knows who we are, how we were made, and what we are intended to be and to do. And I think there is a reassurance in this reality, a comfort in this truth, especially when we are confronted with the possibility that lies deep in our mind that we are not loved by God, or at least not loved completely. And yet God loves us as an artist loves the art that an artist creates. And what is more, God as an artist is still at work within us. We may not measure up. We might not actually be the final product that God intends us to be, but God is still fashioning us. Speaking of artists, one of the greatest artists of all time was Michelangelo, an Italian artist who lived in the late 1400s and early 1500s, the time of the High Renaissance. In his day, Michelangelo was considered one of the greatest living artists, and he's been described as one of the greatest artists of all time. Most of us probably know of his painting of the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican. But Michelangelo was also a sculptor as well as a painting artist. He is known for his statue of David in the Pietà. Story is told that at one time he was chipping away at a shapeless hunk of rock and someone stopped by and asked him what he was doing, and he replied, "I am liberating an angel from this stone." Think about that for a moment. I think that's what God is doing with us. God is liberating the angel that we can be from the stone that we are trapped in. Each of us is somewhere in that process, in God's process, of being liberated from all that holds us back from living fully in the love of God and in the work that Christ calls us to do. We may not be there yet, and there may be parts of us that don't measure up to what God intends. But rest assured, God does love us, all of us. For God made us, and we are God's. Amen.